Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. This week's question is, how do you distinguish between ADHD and anxiety in children? This is really a great question because ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is often co-occurring with anxiety in kids and also in adults, but they can also look very similar, so it can be confusing. Let's dig into that a little bit. Let's talk about the ways anxiety can look similar to ADD or ADHD. Well, some of the symptoms show up in both diagnoses, symptoms like fidgeting, getting distracted, difficulty keeping track of things, not being able to listen, problems staying focused, problems staying organized, being forgetful, high impulsivity. Those are symptoms that are present in ADD and ADHD because the child's brain works differently. They tend to struggle with executive functioning, which basically means the part of their brain that does the planning and organizing. This works differently than in neurotypical people. People with ADD and ADHD may be able to hold a lot of thoughts all at once. I tell kids it means they have a busy brain, and so they may struggle with staying on task. This can be really confusing since they also are able to hyperfocus, which means to put all of their attention on one thing no matter what else is going on. This is the child who may run around and get distracted by lots of things and maybe lose track of even a conversation they're having with you, but at the same time can go over and get completely lost building Legos even if there is a literal tornado going on outside. But in ADHD, ADD, you're going to see both of those things happening. You're going to see a child who can hyperfocus. You can be calling to them, and they're completely focused on Minecraft or reading a book. And on the other hand, you can't get them to focus on their math homework at all. They, again, may struggle to stay on point in a conversation. These are two sides of the same ADD, ADHD coin. But these symptoms may also be present in anxiety. Anxious children may also fidget. They may also get very distracted. They may have trouble focusing and listening to you. They may struggle with organization and keeping track of things. They may forget things. And this is because they are on high alert. Anxious kids tend to be very keyed up. They may be quick to respond to perceived threats, so they may seem impulsive. They may struggle with executive functioning, not because of a neuro difference, but because their planning, organized brain is offline. They are living in their more reactive brain in response to their anxiety. Anxious children may spend a lot of time in fight, flight, or freeze mode, and so they aren't thinking with their calm, cool, and collected higher order brain. So you can see why this can look like ADD or ADHD. Now, it gets even more complicated when we consider that about one-third of those who are diagnosed with ADD or ADHD also meet criteria for an anxiety diagnosis. And there are some studies that indicate that number might be even higher, maybe up to 50%, especially when we're looking at adults. So again, ADD and ADHD is a neurodifference. Brains operate in a lot of different ways, and an ADD-ADHD brain, the neurodifference is the executive functioning is just not as strong. In anxiety, the executive function may not be as strong because the child is too anxious. And when we're anxious, we tend to be operating from our more primitive reactive brain. Now, obviously, this is an absolute oversimplification of things, but it's to help you understand why we may see two kids with different diagnoses looking kind of similar. Now let's think about why that dual diagnosis might happen, where we might see somebody who both meets criteria for ADD, ADHD, and for anxiety. Well, let's think about it. So first of all, we live in a world where we expect people to have neurotypical brains. That means our systems, our institutions, schools, workplaces, childcare centers, even the parenting books that we read assume that we all have brains that function more or less like some fictional average brain. Those children and teens whose brains work differently have to contend with being, quote, wrong, end quote, a lot of the time. They may not quite get circle time activities. They may not be able to sit still the way we expect them to. They might not appreciate the social nuances of middle school. They may not get why the workplace protocol operates the way it does, or be able to pay attention in meetings. Those kids and teens and adults may feel like square pegs constantly getting shoved into round holes, and that can create real anxiety. If they feel like they are always missing the point or missing the boat, that's going to make them feel anxious about their day-to-day functioning. Think of a child who struggles with impulsivity. Those are the kids who are reaching out to touch the museum display before you even have time to say don't touch. They're often in trouble, and they're not sure why or how to do things differently. You can see how this would make a person anxious, right? Like they're forever waiting to screw up. They're forever waiting to disappoint people. They're forever disappointing themselves. The other thing is that this high impulsivity, this immediate jump from a thought to a behavior, can also happen with an immediate jump from a thought to another more anxious thought. If a child has anxiety and also has ADD, ADHD, they are more likely to have feelings that kind of run away with them. If they think about a dinosaur, they may immediately think about being eaten by a dinosaur. That executive functioning that helps them slow down and be logical just isn't as strong as their impulsivity. Remember, in previous episodes, we've talked about the information processing bias that comes with anxiety. Anxious brains tend to be more negative, spotting potential danger even in neutral situations. As you can imagine, when the impulsivity of ADD, ADHD is also present, it's simply easier to jump to the worst possible conclusion more quickly. Where this definitely matters is when we're thinking about medication. Stimulant medication, which we use to treat ADD and ADHD, can make anxiety worse. And that's a discussion to have with your doctor. But it also matters when we're talking about school accommodations, since your child or teen will need to have an assessment and diagnosis in order to inform the IEP or 504 plans. I discuss those in episode 11 if you want to check that one out. When we're thinking about a child with ADD or ADHD, we really need to think about a supportive environment. Remember, I was talking about square pegs and round holes. If we have a square peg child, we want to find them square peg environments, or at least help them understand that sometimes the issue is the environment. It's not always them. That can help with some of the anxiety. Thus, a good diagnosis so they understand how their neuro differences operate in the world can help combat some of that anxiety. When it comes to treatment, we're addressing the child and their symptoms. Having a clear diagnosis helps with case conceptualization, but it's not always possible right at the beginning. People who work with kids do expect things to overlap and to be complicated. Knowing if it's anxiety or if it's ADD and ADHD might be less important at the beginning when we're trying to figure things out. When a therapist is working with a child, they often have a provisional diagnosis with rule out. What that means is, this seems to be the pressing diagnosis, but I will not know for sure until I rule out these other diagnoses. When it comes to anxiety and ADD, ADHD, we definitely are looking at the full picture of the child to help us figure out what is going on. I can think of times when I was working with a child who came to me with an ADD diagnosis, but as we dove in and made plans with the parents to address those concerns and that child's challenges, we were able to start seeing where anxiety was more present and figured out how to address that for that individual child. In other words, often it is through working with the child that we are able to make recommendations for a better diagnosis and possible referrals to other supportive practices from other people like doctors, teachers, and behavioral specialists. I hope this is helpful and will give you some ideas about what might be happening for your child and for your family so you can seek out better support. If you are interested in diving into a family support plan that teaches you how to parent a child with anxiety with or without ADD, ADHD present, I hope you will check out Child Anxiety Support. Thanks. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.